Well, the new year is upon us, and that means a huge opportunity for you to get ahead at your church for the next year. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the things that you need to do at your church before the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about the new year and what your church needs to be doing to start getting ready for the new year and planning. So it should be a good conversation. New year is right around the corner. We're recording this here in December of 2024. If you're watching this in the future, I imagine these things will still work in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah.
But here when we're recording it, these are some of the things that we've found as a pastor of a church. I'm an executive pastor at my church. I am the one responsible for a lot of these kind of New Year's planning, kind of executive type things that we're doing at our church. And I thought I wanted to share some of the stuff that's working for us and some of the things that haven't worked. So
yeah,
I think it should be fun.
Yeah, and another cool thing, Thomas, is right now towards the end of the year, as we're working with a lot of churches that are planning things for 2025. So I'm hearing about a lot of cool stuff on the ground, just connecting with pastors and ministry leaders. A lot of stuff that, and I love it. You know, we know God leads us by His Spirit into all the things that, He wants us to do day by day, but we do believe in planning and having goals and measuring them, and absolutely.
Good stuff. I want to say this. If you're hearing this when we're releasing it, don't stop listening, don't stop watching, but you are a little bit late to be doing all these things. So I started a lot of this New Year's planning stuff probably in late October, early November. So don't be overwhelmed by that. It's better late than never, and you can get stuff done in the next few weeks here before the New Year strikes. Also, even if you're doing this into January, that's totally fine too. Just make the adjustments necessary. But
that's good.
I just think it's something that is so important that you kind of think through these kinds of things, have a plan, and I think your church will be better for it. So I guess we'll dig in. I think the first thing to start on is just, I always start by reflecting on the last year. And so this is a really great time to do that here in the last few weeks of the year. Gotta take a look and talk about what was a win, what wasn't, what did we do well? Look at some of the numbers, and hopefully you're tracking all of the most important numbers at your church, like how many people came to our services, how many people gave their lives to the Lord, how many baptisms did you do, and baby dedications, and all those different things that you should be tracking. We've done whole episodes on what churches should be measuring. But now is a great time to take a look at that, look at the actual numbers of things, as well as kind of the anecdotal things, the testimonies we have from the year. Look at where this person was and where they are today. Look at where this marriage was and what God's done in that situation, and just kind of celebrate those wins and look at some of the challenges you faced. And I think that's the best place to start any planning for the new year.
Gives you a starting point, launch point, if you will, or launch pad. Made me think of when we started Reach Right, Thomas. You and I worked together at another Christian web and digital marketing company. We looked at what our experience was there, what worked well, what didn't work well, and we utilized that to a large extent to plan for Reach Right. So absolutely.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. How did we do? So, I'm trying to think back about that conversation. Like, how did we, we said a lot of things we didn't want to do the same, right?
Correct. It did start with a lot of that. Yes.
And I think we did a pretty good job of that for the most part, and God's blessed us with all that. So
absolutely.
Yeah, but I think that's just a really good habit to get into doing that. And then as you've kind of processed that, like, so what I call it at my church is establishing a baseline. Like, this is where we were. And so that's what kind of helps you with the next step, which is kind of vision and goals. So you want to reaffirm the mission. And then I put a lot of attention on the goal setting part of the new year, but it doesn't work without that first part. So you have to assess where you were, establish a baseline. So if you're going to set a goal for how many people you want to give their life to the Lord this year, it's important that you know how many did that last year, right? How many we saw there. So if you had 20 people make a decision to follow Jesus, like, you want to say, you probably want to see some kind of an increase there in this new year. Maybe it's 25 or a 10% increase or something like that. You can come up with what those numbers are, but I think you have to have already analyzed some of those old and have a baseline for it. And then you get into setting goals for the new year. Now, the recommendation I have is that you would set SMART goals. I'll let you kind of share a little bit about, it's an acronym. I'm sure people have heard it before, some of our audience, but maybe some of you haven't. Why don't you share with people what that is, Ian? What is a SMART
goal? I will, So SMART goals stand for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals. That's each one of them.
As an executive pastor, I know that I just think in this way. I know that goals are useless when they're nebulous and they don't really have anything that's specific about them. You can't measure them. They don't have any time frame on them. They're irrelevant. They're not something that's achievable. So, I don't want to say it's a bad goal, but let's just say that someone says, my goal this year is to focus more on fellowship. Making more fellowship in our church.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good hope. And I think that's a good thing to put out there. But I think a goal, or at least a SMART goal in this case, will have things that you can actually take a look at after the fact and say, did we achieve this or did we not? Did we actually make this happen? So what you'll need to do is come up with some ideas on what is a numerical value or something that we can count that actually measures whether we've been successful at fellowship or discipleship. So maybe for fellowship, you'll figure out that the main way our church does fellowship is we have small groups that we encourage people to be in people's homes. And if we have more people in small groups, we can probably assume that more fellowship is happening. Therefore, we can kind of set some goals around that. We can look back and say, well, this year we had 120 people in small groups. And by next year, I'd like to see 140 people in small groups. And then that has a time bound. It's by next year. It's relevant. It's about fellowship. It's achievable. I think that's not unrealistic to go up by 20 more people. You can actually measure it, and it's specific. You have an exact number on those things. So really getting those goals going, I think, is super important. At my church, and kind of another thing to say about this, is that it's so important that it's not just top-down goal setting, but giving people that ability to set their own goals. And we do that here at ReachRight too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You and I, you lead our sales department here. You're our vice president of sales. And so I come to you and I say, hey, what are we going to do for sales? What are kind of our goals? How many new people do we want to bring on to the ReachRight family this month?
That's right.
And how many presentations do we have to do to talk about that? And new leads do we need to generate to make that happen? Same thing for a church. You have to have some of those things, but don't be like, as a pastor or a leader in the church, saying, I'm going to tell you what your goals are. Do it in a conversation format where you're able to talk about, hey, here's where we are. And a lot of times you're going to have to take some massaging and kind of pull out of people what that a good goal might be in these areas.
Yeah.
But help people kind of feel like this is a goal that they set, and you'll get a much better odds of people actually fulfilling some of these things. That's what I've found, at least.
You're making me chuckle because I imagine the pastor that says, God says this is what we need to do this year. And now listen, the Lord does speak, and the Lord does give, and he may give a number or something like that. But I think the delivery, I've seen so many churches over the years that, there's going to be this many souls reached for and turned to the kingdom. But these things that back that up, is it something that is realistic? And we know with God, all things are possible. At the same time, these things do make it realistic. And I think they help you start humble as well. So I think that that's I've seen so many, being in ministry myself, pastoring with you, but also just working with churches for so long, there's these BHAG goals, right? We call them the big, hairy, audacious goals that are cast out there, but they don't have any sort of foundation on whether or not they are achievable, measurable. Yeah. What are you going to do to achieve those?
Well, I believe in BHAG goals. I think that they're good, but they're just more like, They're ones that are out there in the future, right?
So
for your church, I don't know what it is, but for my church, we're in a town of 30,000 people. A BHAG goal might be something that we would have, 10% of our church community would call, or our city would call our church their home.
That's right.
We'd be their home church. That's the kind of thing where, is that going to happen this year? Well, yeah, it could, you know, that could, but it's something that maybe long term, it's audacious. It's almost impossible to even like today to see the path towards that. I think there's value in that, but I don't think that's what these are about. These are kind of like annual goals that I think are super important.
That's good. That's good.
Well, I guess the next few things that I typically do are tied up with like kind of resource management. So the big things there are things like budgeting and then taking a hard look at like your giving and stewardship type thing. So it's usually around your church finances. And this is a good time to, again, establish a baseline on what did we do last year for our budget. For most churches, that's where your budgeting starts is what have we done in the past? And then where are we going to make some changes? Do we need to see a decrease? Do we need to see an increase? One other kind of hack that I do at my church is I involve all of our church staff in helping to create the budget. The same thing with goals. Like when people are making their own goals, it helps to build more buy-in. The same thing goes for budgeting. When people are creating their own budgets and not just listening to a top-down, here's exactly what your budget is, people have much more buy-in. So we just finished this process at our church where every person on staff submitted a budget for all of the things that they wanted to do in their ministry. Maybe they wanted to do training for some of their leaders. Maybe they wanted to, we had every single person have some kind of a coffee budget where they can take people out and build more relationship. For some of our more technical roles, maybe they wanted, we're doing new cameras and projectors and computers and some of these kinds of things. So involving other people in that budgeting process builds so much buy-in for you.
Yeah.
And I think just kind of having one sheet. Now, all that to say, in the end, it's not individual ministry leaders' decision on how much we can spend. It's more of like a request list. But I think having them think through some of that really is helpful. It's going to be something you present to your church council or board or wherever your church is set up there. They'll make the final determination on whether we can do this or not. But these are things you need to be doing leading up to the new year and making sure you have some kind of a plan. I found at my church that in the past, we haven't been really great at letting people know what their budgets are. And it's actually been a hamstringing thing for us, like where people felt unable to take a step or to move on in their area of ministry because they didn't know how much money they had to invest or how they were budgeted and if it was in the budget or not. So like getting people involved in this process in November, December, in that time frame, super valuable for your church.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I like what you said about people having buy-in. That the word that came to mind is that helps people also take ownership over each ministry area that they're involved in. And we know that when someone's able to take ownership, which is a part of the values of our company here as well, that that they're more empowered and more successful at it. So that's good stuff, Thomas.
Next up, I think I'd say that there's some planning you need to do around your ministry calendar for the year. This is another rhythm that I have at my church is that in November of each year, we just had this a couple of weeks ago, we bring all of our church staff together and we sit in a room for 4 hours and we have big like poster boards up on the walls and we have our Google Calendar open and we plot out all of our big ministry events for the year. We start with the big things that we can't change the dates on, things like Easter and Christmas and those big events that we have there. And we put our other like big events like summer camps for youth and VBS and when we have our new believers classes and those kinds of things. And then on a ministry by ministry basis, we kind of plot out when are we going to do these things? When are we doing baptisms? When are we going to do baby dedications? And have all these on the calendar. And I think going into your year, plotting these kinds of things out, along with probably some kind of an idea of your preaching calendar for the year, I think those two things in conjunction are super valuable to help you prepare and just get you thinking about stuff. As part of your budgeting process and goal setting, you want to think about what does that actually look like to achieve those things, and there's probably going to be some events and things tied to that. So that'd be the next step I'd recommend. So thoughts on that?
No, I think that's it. You know, you hit the nail on the head that there's certain things you can't get around, and we know this just from working with churches in a calendar year. There's times where churches engage with us more than other times, and there's also times where we have to be very intentional to engage with churches because we kind of know, and every church is different, but we do know, you know, a lot of healthy churches, they do these things. They plan and they have certain events at key times and seasonal times. You know, we deal with back to school. We deal with season changes, the holidays that we're in now and all of that. So, no, I completely agree. If you don't have some sort of a calendar, then you're setting and that everyone's a part of and aware of and on top of, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So, and I think
it's a marathon session, but I really want to encourage you to involve other people in it too, though. Like that's something that's so important, is like bring your whole team together to do this. Like, I mean, could a pastor or a couple of people like your senior leadership do something like this? Sure, that's true. But bring all the stakeholders, bring in your church council or board if they're involved with those kinds of things, and get opinions on stuff. In the end, you have to be good at leading meetings to do that.
Yeah.
So you can't just be like, it's not going to be a vote on which events we're going to do and which we aren't. That's not how we do things. We don't say, hey, raise your hand if you want to do a VBS this year. And if you don't, don't. But like, it's people chiming in and then the leaders of the church kind of directing it. And if you have a healthy team, you have to be able to say at some point, like, no, we're not going to do this, or yes, we are going to do this, even though there is some disagreement about that. But it's a chance for you to work some of those things out. So I really recommend you schedule that on your calendar.
That's
even
good.
Look at your next year and like kind of put that day on the calendar where you're going to spend 3 or 4 hours just really hashing it out and coming up with your plan for the next year.
That's good. And I was chuckling getting to, I think what we're concluding with here, Thomas, is we always end with some sort of call to action or measurement of something.
Yep.
And
that's it.
And so, and it is very important. After you've done all of this, you know, what would you say would come, what would you conclude with?
Yeah, so I think that as the final thing I would look at as you're ending out the year is planning on how you're going to check to see if these things are happening, right? So the calendar's easy. You can see if an event is going to happen or not. But with the budget and with the goal setting, it's probably important that you don't just look at this in November or December of the following year. You probably want a few checkpoints along the way. If your goal is to see 20 people get baptized in your church this year, well, you probably want to take a look at that in March, and then again in June, and then maybe in August, and kind of see how things are going, because you don't want to wind up in August saying, hey, we've only done 2 this year. What are we going to do to make that happen? So you probably want to be revisiting this, your goals, your budget. You want to be looking at these probably at least on a monthly basis for your budget, and then probably at least on a quarterly basis for your goals for your church, and kind of have some conversations. I know for my team, we just set all of our goals, and the conversation is that everybody has one big number that they're responsible for in their area of ministry. And at least on a monthly basis in our staff meetings, we're going to ask them, hey, how are you doing towards that number? How is that going? Have you made progress there? Is it getting close? Are you falling away from it? And just kind of hold people accountable to that. And if we're having a hard time hitting it, we have a whole resource and team of people ready to step up and help with that. So plan for some checkpoints. And that's really how you manage these kinds of goals.
That's good. Good stuff, man.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'd love to hear what other people think too. Are there things that you do at your church that you found helpful in kind of starting off the new year or bringing another year to the close? Let us know down in the comments. We'd love to hear what you think. If you have any questions for me about how I think it's working well for our church and how we do things, I'd love to answer. We respond to every comment on here. So drop us a comment. Let us know down there below. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Thanks for being a part of the Reach Right family. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.